So if somebody has a simple child, do you tell them to keep the car in the garage?
No, I tell them, be grateful. I say you're like on holiday in this lifetime. Just enjoy your life.
You could turn to a lot of places to get healthy, even the stars.
But the people who have these very difficult charts, I try to get them to realize, look, this is a blessing. You're not going to have a boring life. You're going to have an interesting life. You're the kind of person who can make a difference in the world.
Welcome to The Genius of Wellness, a podcast brought to you by Hopkins Medical Group, serving patients in Greater Boston with a personalized approach to healthcare. Learn more at thegeniusofwellness.org. I'm Ted Canova. The charts Leslie McGuirk talks about are her tools of the trade. Leslie's been an astrologer for 30 plus years, reading charts, helping people understand their patterns, how they're wired, and most importantly, how to navigate life given that wiring. I'll admit it, I was surprised when Dr. Pat Hopkins said, hey, let's talk to an astrologer. But as our conversation took off, it made perfect sense, and I think you'll see why. Pat, for a lot of people, they have tapes go on in their head that maybe they would never amount to anything. How about you? Did you have negative comments in the course of your career?
Well, I definitely did. I never thought I would get old. So this is a real surprise for me. Prior to that, I was very lucky in that at age 6, I felt that I knew what my direction would be. I mean, at 6 years old, I'd go around saying, I'm going to be a doctor. And people are like, really? Your mother's a hairdresser and your father never went to college. Neither of my parents really went to high school. And I was like, no, I'm going to be a doctor. And I was so determined about that. It was shocking to me when I became a doctor that most of the young people I met had no idea what they were going to be. They felt no directive. They felt that there was no plan for them. Whereas I always felt the universe had a plan for me.
But did people say to you, there's no way you're going to be a doctor?
All the time. In fact, when I got into medical school, my dad was in a share ride, and all the guys in the car said, no, she got into nursing school. There's a nursing school in White River Junction. You're just confused. That was the 70s, so it wasn't like every woman and that desired to be a doctor suddenly became a doctor, certainly without a family background of being a physician. So I think that for me, it was such a joy that I always felt I had a place to plan to be and what it must like to have no plan and to not feel that there was a future that took care of them must be exhaustingly a burden for and then impact so much of their life.
Let's bring in Leslie McGuirk. She's an artist, author, speaker, and also an astrologer. Hello, Leslie.
Hi there.
When you were a little girl, you were told repeatedly that you had no talent. How did you deal with that?
Yeah, it was pretty awful. I was told I couldn't draw, I couldn't write, that I was basically worthless. And I never had anyone say anything terribly positive to me. And in fact, it was so bad that when I was a teenager, I actually kept a little notebook of any time anyone said anything nice to me. And it was so rare that I think there were like 3 entries in the entire book.
That sounds so sad.
I know.
Well, I think a lot of people have this. I think it's super common and never talked about that often.
But then your creativity came out just on a chance encounter. Why don't you share what happened?
Well, my mother was worried about me because I think she saw I had very low self-esteem, and she had met a woman who was a professional astrologer who she thought was a very wise, sane person. And I was shocked that my mother suggested that I go have an astrology reading. So I went. It was in Greenwich Village, New York. I'll never forget it. She sat me down and she saw me for the first time. She said I was incredibly creative, unbelievably talented, and that I was getting a very late start. But if I took her advice, I would have an amazing life. And I did everything that she suggested, and everything she said came true. I had free will, of course, and she didn't really predict the future, but she described my wiring system so that I could have the best future for me.
So as a result of that, what did you embark on?
I started to take writing classes, and I didn't really take any art classes at all. I wanted to be a writer. And then when I graduated from Sarah Lawrence trying to become a writer, I thought, oh my gosh, what am I going to do to make a living? And I thought, well, I'll do children's books. And I knew I couldn't draw because everyone told me I couldn't draw, but I knew I could write. So I tried to combine my little drawings with the writing. And I ended up doing these children's books, which were rejected for 13 years. Some of my books were rejected over 150 times. And this astrologer stayed in my life and told me never to give up. And I have now sold over 2 million books around the world, and I'm famous as a writer and an illustrator. And everyone tells me I'm wildly creative, and I know exactly what children need and like. So every single thing that people said about me that was wrong was actually right. That's why my TED talk on the importance of being wrong that I did out in Hollywood, California at UCLA 3 years ago was all about this topic. One of the most scary things in the world to do is to step onto a stage and utterly be yourself. And the reason that's such a scary thing is when you march from this vulnerable place, you might be wrong. You might say something stupid and you might look like an amateur. And I'm here today to tell you that the parts of my life that have been the most successful have been when I've come from that place.
Well, part of this would seem exposing your vulnerability. But how do you do it when you don't have people around you cheering you on?
Well, that's where astrology comes in, because a good astrologer can actually see the highest potential in the human design of somebody. And I just had this miracle happen when I was in Mexico teaching last week at Rancho La Puerta. I did a raffle and one of the guests there got a free reading with me. And I did it in front of a small group of students that I was teaching how to read an astrology chart, because that's my passion now. I want to get this information out there and have it be an everyday tool. And it's like reading music. It's not fortune telling. It's like reading someone's musical score. So this woman, I knew nothing about her. She was 47, very attractive. I looked at her chart and she said later that in 8 minutes, I knew her better than anyone in her family and better than her therapist that she'd been going to for over 20 years, better than any boyfriend she had ever had. And I basically helped her reconfigure her life path and how she viewed herself. And one of the best things about astrology is that I call it the language of compassion, because it wasn't her fault that she had such low self-esteem, just like it wasn't my fault that I had the same issue. But what happens is we can get stuck. And astrology gives a higher viewpoint on a person than anything that a regular psychotherapist could do.
Well, I would think you demystify astrology, that it's not fortune telling and it's not a daily horoscope. Where do you take it from there?
So I believe that everything in nature has a pattern, whether it's a tree trunk or a snowflake. We have a pattern that we were born with, and we are part of this cosmic system. And when you think about the fact that the moon is a rock in space that regulates every body of water on the earth, and we're 90% water, there's a correlation. You can ask any doctor from an emergency room or anyone who's working in a school or a prison. There's a correlation. It doesn't mean that the moon is making you crazy. Even the word lunatic comes from the word lunar, which is the moon. There's an influence. So if the moon is just one place where we can actually physically know that that rock in space is affecting all these bodies of water, including us. If you extrapolate it out and realize, what if all of those other planets that are all going in the same exact direction at all times at certain speeds, all of them have their own speed, what if all of them are in some sort of harmonic pattern that we as humans, when we're born, get imprint it with the sacred geometry vibration of where all of those planets were at the moment of birth. It's incredibly accurate. I tell my clients that I'm 95% accurate. It's an esoteric science. It's not straight science, but these esoteric sciences have been around for thousands and thousands of years. So there's deep, deep truth in them, but it is just like reading a piece of music. So I can't tell what's going to happen to someone. All I know is that one person is classical and one person is jazz. And I'm just trying to fine tune and get people to like what they have as their pattern, as their musical score.
I met Leslie, and I'm just going to introduce our meeting, which was a year ago. I said to my son, what would you like for your birthday? Because what do you give somebody who's 26 years old? And he said, Mom, I want to have my stars red. And I said, really? Wall Street guy wants his stars red. That's interesting. And I'll never forget, he had his stars read and he immediately called me and said it was the most impactful, meaningful, best gift on the world, Mom, you've ever done. He was just over the moon, if I can use that term, and was so excited to have done this. You know, he didn't share with me the details, but I think for him, being at a crossroads in his career gave him the encouragement to choose a different path and to also has comfort in the path that he has chosen and to make changes and that to move ahead and make change was good for him at this time.
Well, Leslie, let's talk about Pat's son, not specifically, but where does free will end and the astrology becomes an encouragement to live a life that I guess you have to have faith in an astrologer's vision?
Right. The way that I discuss that point is looking at it as if it's an owner's manual, and all of us are like cars, and when you're given the keys to a car, you have a choice where you're going to drive it and what you're going to do with it. If you do what the owner's manual says, your life will be easier, but you do have free will. That's why two twins could have almost identical charts, and someone could say, well, astrology doesn't work. Look how different these two people are. It's because one person could have driven their car into a bad section of town and it got all beat up and the other one never left the garage. And so someone could say, well, they're totally different. Well, they're not. They're the exact same car. But the difference is that you have free will. So if we look at astrology as like a piece of music, we can't tell as astrologers what a person's going to do with what they were given. All we can do is to help them see who they are. And a lot of people have very, very difficult charts, but those kind of more gnarly charts are the ones that are more interesting. Someone like Nelson Mandela or Richard Branson or people who have these unusual, bigger or larger than life experiences on this planet, a lot of times they have kind of tricky, complicated charts. It's just, again, like music. Boring music is just something that's repetitive and dull. Those people who have charts like that, it's not that challenging for them to be here. Other people, it's like super, super complicated and there are all these different factors going on. And that's where an astrologer can help that person be at peace with the fact that they were given a very complicated piece of machinery. And that's what happened to me. I mean, I know that my chart is a very difficult chart. And yet when it's good, it's really good. And that astrologer at age 19, she said, Leslie, you have a very small path you can be on in this lifetime, but if you stick to this path, you're going to be all right. And she said, you're very well compensated for a lot of the anguish that you're going to go through.
So if somebody has a simple chart, do you tell them to keep the car in the garage?
No, I tell them, I just say, be grateful. I say you're like on holiday in this lifetime. Just enjoy your life. But the people who have these very difficult charts, I try to get them to realize, look, this is a blessing. You're not going to have a boring life. You're going to have an interesting life. You're the kind of person who can make a difference in the world. Don't wish for an easy life. It's not necessarily a good thing. It's like what I call a human jellyfish. Jellyfish don't have a backbone. They just sort of float and they go wherever the current takes them. There are people who are born with that kind of pattern. And sometimes it's very difficult for them because some of those people wish that they had more structure and difficulties, but that's just not how they're wired for this lifetime. And it doesn't mean that they have to stay feeling like they're floating. Again, there's always an anecdote to anyone's chart.
Hi, it's Ted taking a second to remind you that the Genius of Wellness is your place for interesting podcasts, tips for healthy living, and doctors who provide a personalized approach to healthcare. You can find it all, plus schedule an appointment at thegeniusofwellness.org. Now back to our conversation. Leslie, I know this may sound like an obvious question, but are you ever too old? I mean, Pat's son is 26 versus a middle-aged person whose life is more than halfway over.
Oh my gosh, the middle-aged people are just as needing to have their owner's manual read as anyone. In fact, I have a client who's in her 90s, and she did it mostly out of curiosity and fun. And you know why it was really profound for her? was because I was able to tell her about her parents, and she had difficulties with her mother. And once I looked at her mother's chart and explained how her mother was wired and what the difficulties were between the mother and the daughter, for the first time in her life, she had a sense of peace and realized that it wasn't her fault, that her mother didn't really hate her, but her mother had her own trauma. And it just was a difficult combination. And that's the best thing about astrology, is that you realize it's not your fault when things are difficult. However, after an astrology reading, if you stay stuck in the places where you have a looping negative mindset, then it's your fault. And I always give people homework. If you can figure out how to work with the difficulties, then you need to do that. Otherwise, you'll just stay stuck. And it doesn't matter what the astrologer has said to you.
I think the biggest, not the biggest challenge, but is a big challenge, is treating people with mental illness. I got a call yesterday from a friend. She said, you know, I have a son, he's bipolar, he's 35, and he weighs 500 pounds because of the medication he was given. And I just went, you know, deep breath, this is a lot if we take on the case. And so many patients fail long-term the traditional path for mental illness, whether it's depression, anxiety, character disorder, personality disorder, bipolar. These are very difficult patients. Do you see astrology in that path of treatment?
Oh my gosh, I can't even tell you how much it would help. It is probably the most profound thing. I actually don't believe that straight psychotherapy works, because I did over 20 years of it. I believe that without astrology, without an astrologer telling a therapist the bigger picture, the person will stay looping because they don't understand why it's happening. Once you understand how you're designed and why it's happening, it changes everything. Mm-hmm. And I've suffered from serious depression for a good part of my life, and it's definitely in my chart. I have the exact same two aspects that Kate Spade had, who committed suicide. Not that I'm suicidal, but I'm just saying, highly creative people often have these particular aspects. And look at her. She was, you know, a creative genius and very successful. But until, and only if, an astrologer can get in there and help the person understand, hey, it's not your fault. You're hardwired to kind of go down into this deep, dark place, but there's always a way to deal with it. So I know I have a tendency to go there, but because I know that, I have tools and ways to recalibrate myself. And it's really important to see where there are imbalances in the chart. And if you can figure that out, you can actually change things at a physical level. So, for example, in my chart, I don't have any air. So there are four elements: fire, earth, air, and water. What this means is that at an emotional level, I have a very difficult time getting the bird's eye view if I get upset. So it's just something I have to be very careful of. So that's why doing yoga is really good. Anything to do with breathing, making sure I always have time out in nature and space. These are things that will help balance me out. And then I don't beat myself up for being what I am. It's like yelling at a squirrel for being, you know, worried about running around. You know how they're kind of hyped up. It's like, that's just the way the squirrel is. We don't get mad at animals for being the way they are. We don't complain about a giraffe because it has a long neck. Well, a physical thing in the chart, like depression, which I think is a physical thing, needs to be looked at as if it's physical, and there are ways to balance it. And just talking about it all the time, Pat, it doesn't work. I did it for 20 years. I see it all the time. It just makes you stay stuck.
Right.
And I'm a big believer in EMDR therapy, because that gets at the brain level. So for me, the combination of astrology with EMDR and some talk therapy, I'm not against talk therapy, but I think talk therapy alone keeps people looping. I mean, this kid who's 500 pounds,
yep,
it's not getting better.
Well, they're sending him for gastric bypass. And I was like, you know, I think we have some issues before we get there. And maybe we can talk just for a minute about EMDR, because I do use a lot of that in the practice. I have a therapist nearby who is a real expert in this field. And she's taken some of my patients, and they've gone to her on 8 different meds and come back on none. It's really been a breakthrough.
That's exactly right. It's huge, and most people don't even know about it. So I'm like a crusader trying to get the word out about what astrology really is for the medical community and also about EMDR. It's huge.
Leslie, please describe what it's like for you when you take on a new client.
It's an incredibly serious privilege is how I would describe it. I am dealing with a human being who many times has a lot of suffering. And what I know that I give people, because I don't want them opening up their mouth, I want to do all the talking. I want to see them and I want them to know that it's not their fault. It's not your fault if you have a long neck. It's not your fault if you have a bushy tail. It's not your fault if you have depression. It's not your fault if you came in with really difficult parents or sexual abuse or any of these things. So that's where we start, is we get people to understand that part of their human design was to have these lessons. I think we come to this earth school to learn, and our job is to literally outgrow the chart. I want to get people to realize that the chart is just exactly like your owner's manual. It has absolutely zero control over your vehicle. It cannot predict the future other than if I say you're a gas engine and I know you're putting diesel in it, you're going to break down. Yeah, that's how much fortune telling is involved with astrology. It's no different than a car.
So your client is sitting across from you or on the
telephone? No, I don't even do them. I do them over the phone. I actually don't like doing them live because I don't want them to give me any information from... I can, but it's not my preference.
Okay. So your client is on the phone with you.
Yes.
Silent. And do you talk for 5 minutes, for 40 minutes?
Anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour, depending on what people want. But it's a very intense process. And as I said, in Mexico, for this woman who won this raffle, I did her chart in 45 minutes and changed her life. And it was the first time in 47 years on this earth that she felt understood.
And then the frequency of checking in with you is what?
Technically, if I read your owner's manual once, you're good for life. You can listen to that for the rest of your life. But there's things called weather, and that's, we're dealing in this cosmic soup that we live in. Everything's changing up in the sky. And every 6 months, a lot of my clients just want to get an update on the weather and how things are affecting them.
Having moved from my 26-year-old son to my 29-year-old daughter, and she had a meeting with Leslie, a telephone meeting, and again, could not wait the minute. I think, Leslie, your phone hadn't hung up yet when my daughter had already called me. It gave her so much encouragement. She has started her own company, and that is a large task to work through investors and scaling and being 29 years old and all of what that means. And I think she was just so encouraged by her reading, and she is a lucky person. We used to joke all the time. Despite her hurdles with a learning disability, we were like, well, she'll be the most successful because she's just that way. And I'm taking Leslie's course on learning how to incorporate this into my practice. I think that for most physicians, we're not healers until we learn the tools of healing. And that's very different than learning the tools of medicine. And I think that's one of my missions going forward and at this phase in my life. And never too old to get my astrology done. I have to take an hour out of my week to get this done, Leslie.
Right. And it used to be you couldn't get a medical license unless you knew how to read a chart. And part two of the Hippocratic Oath was left off. You can Google it. Hippocrates basically said, any man who practices medicine and doesn't know how to read a chart is not a doctor but a fool. This used to be at the highest level of society. Astrologers were considered the wise men. That's why the three wise men who found baby Jesus, the Magi, that word means astrologer. They were looking at the Star of David. They understood these patterns that are part of what it means to be human on this earth.
Leslie, so if folks aren't going to use an astrologer, you at least have some core advice for them to learn what their passion is. What is that?
Yes, I believe that we are utterly unique. We all have specific talents and skills, and the best way for any human being to find out who they really are is to answer these two questions. Number one, think about what you want it to be when you were about 6 or 7 years old, because whatever you had a dream of, that was your core essence. It was pure. It's what you loved. Make a list of all the things you loved as a child, whether you loved animals or collecting something. Whatever you collected as a child is a core ingredient for you to be happy later in life. So for me, I wanted to be a veterinarian when I was a child. I didn't become one. I'm not great at science, but it doesn't matter. What matters is that I loved animals. So I draw animals in my children's books. I work with wild horses out in Utah, teaching people about leadership and what it means to be in a willing partnership. So I'm very much involved with animals. So it's another way of getting at your truth, which is a pretty simple way to get. And some people can't remember what they loved as a child, and that's usually an indication of trauma, which again, that gets back to the astrology chart. The astrologer would be able to see what happened.
Leslie McGuirk, you really opened our eyes and really demystified parts of astrology that a lot of people just probably don't know about. Appreciate you joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
And thank you for listening to The Genius of Wellness. If you like our podcast, do us a favor, share it with your friends and family, and write a review on this podcast channel. It'll help more people find us. The Genius of Wellness is brought to you by Hopkins Medical Group, serving patients in Greater Boston with a personalized approach to healthcare. Learn more at thegeniusofwellness.org. I'm Ted Canova. See you next time.